Thank you for coming out to be with us this evening. What a blessed privilege it is to proclaim the Word of God to you. For those of you who might be visiting for the first time this evening, it might be some indication of my abilities if you consider my daughter who lives here in Florida hadn't been here the last two nights. And tonight, the locating preacher stayed home. But I don't get up. I'm not even going to be using PowerPoints tonight. Once in a while, I like to kind of stick and to the old ways of preaching before I had such graphics to help out, and this is one of those occasions. I'm going to be preaching on commitment. I have an introduction that doesn't really have to fly too far away from here to find its source. I heard something just I thought was just outstanding by Don Truex on a lesson on commitment. He was preaching in a meeting in Louisville, Kentucky, and he mentioned Roger Staubach, of course, went to four national championships and won twice. He's in the Hall of Fame. Pretty good, huh? Pretty outstanding. But Roger, in his autobiography, writes of the time that he first went to the Cowboys and started playing for Tom Landry, and how Roger was accustomed, he was so good and gifted, and to be able to call his own plays if he chose to do so. And Tom Landry would have nothing of it. Now, Roger knew, and you and I know, if we've paid attention to sports in yesteryear, that Tom Landry was way ahead of his time. He was an offensive genius, and he knew what he was doing. And that's why Roger went on with that team to accomplish much. But when Roger wrote of the occasion, he said, "When I finally learned to commit to the team, then I started having fun, and we started winning." When I learned to commit to the team. Isn't that something? Commit. Committal. Being willing to commit oneself. You've heard of military special forces. And Marines, you've heard of times that they just will not leave. Even if it cost a man his life, he's not going to leave his comrade hanging there. He's not going to leave him there. He's going to get him. Even if he's dead, he's going to get it. And he has that commitment. And they each know that. They each know this man here and this man here or this woman here the way it is today. They are not going to leave me. They will die before they leave me. That's commitment. That's not just simply a team player. That's commitment. Sometimes commitment is referred to as dedication. I tell you, when I think of dedication, I think of Olympic athletes, and especially those who excel. You know, they pretty well give away everything else in their life. They have no social life. Young people, they have no dating. They don't get to eat the good food. They're very disciplined. They give their life in practice, and when they're not practicing, they're being careful about what they eat, and they're always being careful that they get the kind of rest and the amount of rest that's necessary so that you'll excel the next time you practice and compete. They just give their life. That's commitment, isn't it? You know it is. You know, a Christian who is not committed to the Lord may make it for a while. They may hang in there for a few years. They may keep the fire burning and being all excited. They may have that first love like the church at Ephesus. They may have it for a while, but eventually it'll cool. It'll cool. Unless they are committed to the Lord Jesus Christ to the person of Christ. Without commitment, they'll not make it. Something will happen somewhere. In Matthew chapter 10, beginning in verse 37, Jesus had this to say. He said, "He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me, he is not worthy of me." Jesus doesn't want us to hate our parents, but what he's saying, I want you to be committed to me. I want to be the first love in your life. I want you to love me more than you love your husband or your wife or your children. I want to be number one. I want you to commit to me. The one who died on the cross for our sins asked us. We can never give as much as he did, but he asked us, give me everything you can. Be committed to me. Love me. And that's what this passage is about. Luke 14 and 33. "Likewise, whoever of you that forsaketh not all that he has, then he cannot be my disciple." That's the opposite of indifference or lukewarmness. It takes an effort to stay committed. Those of you who are married, you know that's true. You get married and you're just excited every time you see him or her. But as time goes by and the difficulties of life start taking their toll, and I told you the other night, difficulty is, it starts with a C, children, bills, and other things, and what happens. I mean, I kind of laugh because I've got the right to. I've suffered through it. I love my wife with all my heart, and I give my life for anyone and all of my children. But I know what it is to get so wrapped up in other things and get so busy that I just do not give my wife the attention that she's due. We have to be totally and completely committed to God through His Son, Jesus Christ, if we're going to keep the fires burning and keep the love going. That's what it takes. It is commitment, or the lack of it, that destroys any relationship. I've mentioned marriage, and I mentioned the Lord. It's the day by day by day by day struggles of life that will get us down if we're not committed. There has to be commitment. Without commitment, you won't survive. You just won't make it. We learn that every day is not a utopian experience. Every day we can't be up on cloud nine. Every day is not like the day we were baptized into Christ. There are heartaches and there are hardships. There's times that people laugh at us. Times that folks are mad at us. And because we're a Christian, remember, they put nails in Jesus' hands and feet and hung him on a cross because they didn't like what he had to say of a religious nature. Sometimes people aren't going to like us just simply because we're Christians. And you better be committed, or you will cave. You will fall. You will lose that love. In 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 21, Elijah taking on all the hundreds of prophets of Baal and destroying them. What a man. And yet, at times, Elijah could be guilty of the same thing I am guilty of from time to time, and that's whining when we ought to be praising God. Elijah came near to all the people and said, "How long will you hesitate between two opinions?" That's the New King James Version. How long will you hesitate between the two? Are you going to serve Baal or are you going to worship Jehovah? If the Lord is God, then follow him. But if Baal is God, then follow him. But the people did not answer him a word. They kept right on in their indifference. Commitment is not indifference. It's opposite of that. Commitment is making an effort when things are hard. my children, since my wife and daughters aren't in here, I can get by with this. My children were all breastfed. And I can remember at times I was thankful for that because I was wore out. Mom was probably even worse, but she had to get up and feed. I couldn't. But I can remember at times, and as I look back especially, I think about all the hard work and the lack of sleep and the dirty diapers and the vomit and the snotty noses and the crying. Mama never complained. Never. She got up. Maybe that's why when children look at their dads, they love them, but when they see mom, to them, this side of God, that's as good as it gets. That's commitment. That is commitment. Commitment is counting the cost and more. A few years ago, a young man by the name of Ed Curtis came to me. And he came there at Evansville, and he attended services a time or two, and he came to me and he talked to me about being a member, becoming a member of the church there at Evansville. And I knew someone who knew Ed and had worshiped with Ed, and I had called him actually before he approached me about being a member, and I called and talked to him about him. And I said, he's about as likable a person as you'll ever find, but what was he doing with and in and for the Lord and in the church? And he said, Ed just doesn't attend very well. He doesn't have any excuses. He just sleeps too late and gets too busy, and he just doesn't attend very well. Ed came back a while later to another service and talked to me again about being a member, and I said, well, now, Ed, this is not really up to me. I said, this is not up to me at all. I said, I don't have any more weight and say in this matter than any other member of this church. Probably if you were going to talk to anyone and get real serious about this, maybe it ought to be the two men that up until recently, for health reasons, stepped down but served as an elder. But I want to tell you this, Ed. I said, you know, we've got several deadbeats in this church. They could do better. They could do a lot better. They don't because they don't love the Lord. They don't. I said, they just don't love the Lord. You can tell by the way they live their life. I said, they're a bad example. We've got a lot of college kids in here, and we've got young people of our own. And I said, those deadbeats are a bad example. And I said, Ed, if you're intending to be a deadbeat, then why don't you just attend? Just come and attend. Don't worry about being a part of the church here. Just come and attend. And I said, you know I like you. What I'm saying to you right now is, I imagine it's pretty offensive. I know it's hard. I'll continue. I'll be glad to get together and go out for lunch with you once in a while. And I like you, but we don't need deadbeats. We need people who are committed. The Lord doesn't want deadbeats, and you'll hurt us. Ed came to several services, and about a year later, he came forward at the end of services, and he said, I'm ready to serve God. He said, you said it right. He said, I've been a deadbeat too long, and I want to go to heaven. I wish you could know Ed now. He'll do anything. He's like a spark plug to the church. He's just a man that's always smiles, and there's probably isn't anything he can do, but what there are several people that can do it better. But nobody does it with the enthusiasm and joy, and nobody is more popular than maybe Brother Maudlin, because the man loves what he's doing, and he made a commitment to God, and he's serving God. Commitment. Luke 14:28, which one of you, when he builds a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost and see if he has enough labor, if he has enough money, if he can complete it. Otherwise, when he's laid the foundation and he's not able to finish it, and all who observe it, they begin to laugh or ridicule at him. They laugh at him or ridicule him. And they say, this man began to build, but he was not able to finish it. He didn't count the cost, see? That's involved in commitment. How many people fail to count the cost? How many people? I remember that Brother Truex made the statement. He said, if we could just stand here and look up toward heaven, and we could just look and we could have a panoramic view, and we could look, and we could just look and see all of the half-built towers, efforts that are lying along the way of those who started out but didn't finish because they lacked commitment. That picture sticks in my mind. I never lose it when I think of we need to count the cost. Am I willing to give everything for my God? Am I willing to give my life if need be for the Lord? Am I going to be honest no matter what it costs me in the job, in the church, no matter what it may cost me? Will I walk with Jesus? Do I love Him enough to make this firm commitment this day? The Lord knows I will be His and I will walk with Him. Can He count on that? Can He count on you? Is that the kind of Christian you are? Are you committed? Commitment is a daily decision. It's not something you do one time and you're baptized and then that's it. In Acts chapter 5 and verse 42, daily in the temple and in every house they did not cease to teach and preach Jesus Christ. We're not here to exalt the preacher. We're not here to be exalted. We're here to exalt our God and to show by our singing, which is about, by the way, just outstanding here, and our love for each other and the way we live our lives. We're here to exalt our God, to lift Him up. Hebrews 3 verse 13 says, exhort one another daily. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. Exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. And exhort one another every day. Live a life of dedication to others, to the Lord, and then to your brethren. Love your brethren. In Matthew chapter 8, once again, the words of the Lord. Now when Jesus saw great multitudes about Him, He gave a commandment to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and he said unto Him, Master, I'll follow Thee whithersoever Thou goest. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay His head. Another of His disciples said unto Him, Lord, suffer me first, allow me first to go and bury my father. But Jesus said unto him, follow me and let the dead bury their dead. You know what that's all about? We can get hung up on let the dead bury their dead and can't even bury my father. Jesus is just teaching commitment. Don't let anything. Make up your mind that there will be nothing that will keep you from doing my will. Make up your mind that I am going to be first, that when you the very first thing you think of in the morning is God. And the very last thing at night, no matter how hard your day has been, you think of God. You want to do right by God. You're committed to God. You love God. He's first and foremost. You're totally committed. When I think of being committed, I can remember right when I first started dating my wife. I worked all night. At that time, I went through high school and I was laid out for a couple years to start into college. And I worked in an AMF Voight toys and bows and arrows. And it used to be big stuff, AMF, but that's where I worked. And I worked all night. As a matter of fact, the boss had asked me to work over. I worked a couple hours over, but I had an invite to go to my wife's home place. And I headed that direction. And if there's no problems at all, it takes about an hour and 20, 25 minutes to get there from that plant where I worked. Well, I got within 15 miles of her home, and the waters were out in the bottoms. The Little Wabash River becomes a lake of massive proportions if you get 4 or 5 inches of rain. And so I drove another 35 mile and thought I'd go around this way. And I went around here and I started up a gravel road and I got in water and I finally had water so deep I didn't know if I was ever going to get backed out of there. And I backed out of there and I went on around. Well, I should have been at her home, but no later than 9:30, and I finally made it at 1:30. I got some cherry. They called it at that time cherry dump, and that doesn't sound very good, but it's delicious. Got nuts all over the tops of the cherry, absolutely. And I got my first kiss. Well, I'd have driven twice that distance next time. But I'm going to tell you for a fact, I was committed to getting there. And yeah, it was hard. And I was tired. And it seemed like one thing after another kept happening. But I made it. Sometimes serving the Lord's that way. The course of action that I choose to take, the way I think it ought to be done, is just an absolute flop. I've prayed about it. I've thought about it. I've given due diligence, and it just doesn't work. But that doesn't mean I can give up. That doesn't mean I can stop. I wouldn't have been preaching a long time ago. I know there are churches where you always get treated rather well, but there are some places you get run off. I've been run off for teaching the truth. That's hard. But I didn't start out to make everybody happy, though I like to make people happy. My primary objective was to make God happy and hope that He looked at me and could say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Lord, I want to understand Your will. And I want You, please, Lord, I pray that You'll help me to teach my family and friends what's right. Help me to see it." I prayed that as a Methodist. And I pray that all the time. And I pray that today. I pray that. That's what commitment is all about. You know, commitment affects our choices. You know it does. What would God have me do? What would God have me to do? Will this job, will this move, will it affect my ability to attend services? If I go to this school, is it going to isolate me from brethren? Is it going to be nearly impossible to gather together with the saints on the first day of the week? Will this person, will this young man or this young woman that I'm attracted to, Lord, will that affect my ability to serve Thee? Are they going to be the kind of influence that's going to help me as I serve You? Or are they going to hurt that? Lord, what am I putting first? What means more to me? And what will other godly people think of my decision? I think we have to. Committed to God means we do think about some things and it affects the choices that we make. Now, there are three commitments that are not negotiable when you're talking about being committed that you have to take into consideration. When it comes to being committed, are you committed to the person of Jesus Christ? Not your church, not your preacher, not your mom, not your dad. Are you first and foremost, are you committed to Jesus Christ? Are you? Really, are you? You think about that. Right now, would you give up the relationship that you have with your mother, with your father, if you knew it was going to separate you from God? What would you do? My wife did. Her dad said, I don't want to see you all anymore. Her mother had died with cancer when my wife was 14. Her dad, when I started preaching, said, I don't want to see you anymore. And he never saw his grandchildren until about a year, year and a half before he died. And he came to us and apologized. It broke her heart. But her commitment was with God. What would you do? Are you committed to the person, Jesus Christ? Next to the Lord, are you committed? Are you committed to the church? Now, I don't mean sacrificing the Lord in the relationship with the Lord. But if you're a part of a church that's striving to do the will of God, are you committed to doing the very best you can to make it better, to be a part of it? Are you committed to doing anything and everything you can to make people in that church stronger, happier, more spiritual? Are you committed? Not just committed to a little segment of it that's maybe your same age you are or likes the same ball team you do, but committed to the church, everybody. Do you love those who are old and those who are young? Do you love those that have a lot in common with you and those who have very little in common to you? Do you try to do your very best to serve the whole body? Or are you an isolationist and you just attend but just pretty well keep yourself separate from everybody else? And maybe even as you look at yourself and you're real honest with yourself, you think you're a little bit better than everybody else. That's not like Christ. That's not the way of the Lord. That's not Christ-like at all. It's just not right. And we better wake up and realize that we have an obligation to help others within the body of Christ, and we all go toward heaven together. So we talk about being committed to the church. And then finally, when you're talking about commitment, are you committed to the Word of God? Are you? Are you fervently committed that this is indeed the Word of God and that you're going to follow it? And I've already dealt this week quite a bit with not letting your feelings and emotions drag you away from the truth, but sticking with what the Lord has revealed to us and doing things in His way and for Him. Are you dedicated to the Word of God? Because frankly, you can't be dedicated to Christ and not dedicated to the Word of Christ. Do you study your Bible and do you pray to understand? And do you pray that others may understand and come to know the very same God that has saved you from your sins? Are you committed to that? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and love thy neighbor as thyself. Is that what's in your heart? That's what I leave you with this evening. Being committed to the Lord. Give your whole heart to Him. Love Him. And love others around you. We haven't talked about how to become a Christian, but if you've come to understand that Jesus is indeed the Christ, the Son of the living God, and as you open your Bible and you look at the things that are said, as we look in the book of Acts in chapter 2 and we look at Peter's sermon, and that whole sermon is centered on Christ. the resurrected Christ. Verse 36 of Acts 2, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. And when they heard this, they were pierced or cut to the heart. I hope that you can be touched, that your heart is pliable enough that it will allow the truth to penetrate and you can be molded. They said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord, and God will forgive you. Are you ready to make that kind of a commitment and become a part of the body of Christ? God will save you. Please come forward while we stand and while we sing.